we want to thank you for joining our Men's Summit podcast today. We hope that this encourages you and challenges you in every area of your life. In this episode, our Justin Men's pastor, Jerry Van Wyk, shares his story and reminds us of the importance of spending time with Jesus. Let's listen in.
Hey, everybody. My name is Jerry Van Wyk. I am the men's pastor at the Gateway Justin campus, and it is my privilege and honor to have an opportunity to share with you today. I've been asked to share what's on my heart and something that's kind of become a life message for me, which is spending time with Jesus. So I'm going to talk about that today and how we can do that practically. But I want to begin by telling you a story, and it might be a bit of a long story, but if you hang in there with me, it's a great story because Jesus comes into my life in a powerful way. And I always love sharing this story because it's just such a transforming thing when Jesus comes into our lives. So bear with me as I share this here. I'm going to begin all the way back as I was born and raised in Northwest Iowa in a small town. My parents were Christians, and we went to church every Sunday morning, and at that time they had Sunday night service, and they had Thursday night service as well in the middle of the week. And I can tell many of you, some of you know what that's like, some of you may not know what that's like, but so we went to church a lot. And as I was saying, being raised in church, I had a good understanding of some of the Bible stories and some of the figures in the Bible, but I have to tell you, I really didn't know who Jesus was. I didn't know if he was real. The Jesus that I knew was the Jesus that was in the flannel graph from Sunday school. I didn't see any real powerful Jesus that I became to know at a later date in my life here. And so as I was raised in that environment, church was just something we did. But when I turned 17, all of that changed. I was on a family trip with my mom and my dad. I have some siblings. I have a brother and two sisters. And there was one sister that was with us on this trip and myself. And we were out west in Montana snowmobiling. And all of this detail comes into play here as we share the story. But we were snowmobiling, and we had arrived there at our location, unloaded our snowmobiles, and we headed to the top of the mountain. My dad was so excited to show us this mountaintop. We headed there with our snowmobiles, and we were probably on the mountain snowmobiling for about 30 minutes, and we were actually in a meadow where there was very deep snow. I got my snowmobile stuck, and my dad came by with his snowmobile, providing another track so I could get out, and he parked a little bit above me and walked down to try to help me dig out my snowmobile. And as he did that, when he got to my snowmobile, he fell over. And when he fell over, I kind of thought he had tripped, and I wasn't sure what was happening. And pretty soon, you know, I'm digging my snowmobile out. I look at my dad's arm, and I notice his arm is shaking. And I'm like, well, something's wrong. So at that point, I decide to kind of kick his leg and said, hey, Dad, quit messing around. This isn't funny anymore. And he didn't move. And I thought, something's really wrong here. So I decided to go over and shake my dad, and I shook him, and he didn't move. And so I decided to pull back the visor on his snowmobile helmet, and he had sunglasses on. I took his sunglasses off, and his eyes were rolled back in his head, and he was gasping for breath. And at the time, I was 17 years old, and thank God, earlier that month in our high school gym class, I had CPR. And so I decided to start performing CPR on my dad. On the mountaintop, my brother-in-law was also with us, and I motioned for him to come down, and we had a little discussion about who should try to go back to town, and so he went back to town. And my heart was, if my dad's going to pass away, I want to be there when he passes away. And so for the next 45 minutes, I spent time diligently trying to do everything I could through CPR to keep my dad alive. And I'll tell you, friends, there were many times I felt like I certainly felt a pulse or I heard a breath. And I worked harder and harder to the point where after about 45 minutes, I was just exhausted. I decided to actually do what Elijah did in the Bible. And I didn't know that story at that time, but I unzipped his snowmobile suit and unzipped mine, and I laid on top of him just to keep him warm. And off in the distance, I heard some upcoming snowmobiles, and it was my brother-in-law. And he was coming with the park ranger, and they arrived at the site where we were, and the park ranger hopped off his snowmobile and ended up proclaiming my father dead at that time. And at that time in my life, being 17, my dad had meant so much to me. So much of my identity and who I was wrapped up in my relationship with my dad, that in that instance, I felt like my life had absolutely crashed. I was able to gather myself, go down to the town where we were staying, and I had the horrible experience of having to inform my mother of what had happened. And the rest of the next moments and hours and even overnight is all just a complete blur to me. We boarded an airplane the next morning to fly back to Iowa. We arrived at our hometown in Iowa, and family and friends had already began to gather at our home to show their support and their love for our family. One of those friends was our local pastor, and he specifically wanted to talk to me, and he shared with me about how God loved me and God had a plan in the midst of all this. And I remember those words faintly as I sat there and listened to him talk to me. And I decided to go to my bedroom. And when I was in my bedroom that day, I was so filled with grief. Ever since the moment the park ranger had pronounced my father dead, I had not been able to stop crying. I was beside myself. And so I went down to my bedroom to try to get some peace. And as I lay on my bed in my bedroom, I started thinking, maybe I should pray to God. Maybe God can help me. And in that moment, I remembered two things that I was taught from going to church, that if you're ever going to pray, you should ask Jesus to come into your heart, and you should ask him to forgive you of your sins. And I thought at that point, what do I have to lose? I've never prayed seriously. We had prayed over meals all of my life, but I'd never prayed seriously where I really needed God. So in that moment, I uttered a prayer, not a prayer of faith. It was literally a prayer of desperation, but the response was amazing and has changed my life forever. I uttered these words, God, if you exist, would you come into my heart? Would you forgive me of my sin? And then I asked Jesus if he would help me to stop crying. As I was laying on my bed, no one was around me. In that moment, it was like somebody took a medicine ball that boxers use to train. It was like somebody took that and dropped it on my stomach. I physically felt something hit me on my stomach. I kicked my legs off of the side of the bed, and as I sat there, I realized I wasn't crying anymore. And I also realized, as I felt my face, I realized that I was actually smiling. And the first words that came out of my mouth was, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven, and I know I'm going to heaven. And I didn't even know how I knew that. But in that moment, in that room, I began a personal relationship with Jesus. And from that moment on, my life has been completely transformed through my relationship with Jesus. To me, Jesus was no longer the flannel graph Jesus from the Sunday school. He was no longer this historical figure. He was real to me now. Not only was he real, he was alive. Everything began changing in my thoughts, in my heart. From that moment on, Jesus became so real to me, I wanted him to be real to everyone else. And of course, that's my heart today. If you're listening to this, wherever you are, if you're walking with the Lord or if you don't know Him, I want Him to be made real to you today. Perhaps I can encourage you with that. After I prayed that prayer and Jesus became real to me, I decided I need to pursue a relationship with Him to learn who He is. And so as a young man in high school, and then as I went to college, I began to do something that really began to shape the remainder of my life. And that's the life message I want to share with you today. And what that is, I began to instinctively spend time with the Lord. Friends would refer to me and say, well, you need to have a devotional time. If you're a good Christian, you need to have devotional time. And I found that, you know, kind of interesting. Well, okay, I'll figure out how to do this devotional time. So I started getting devotional books, and I started just taking some time every day in the morning. In particular, for me, it worked. I know for some it works in the evening, at some at different times of the day, but every day I would set aside time. I'm going to read the Bible, I'm going to pray, and I'm just going to see how I can figure out what this spending time thing with God means. And so every day I did that, and what was transformational for me is as I spent the time to do that, I began to start to hear the Lord whisper in my heart. I began to learn His voice. I began to learn how He nudges you and prompts you through the Holy Spirit, how He speaks to you through the still small voice, how He highlights and illuminates the Word of God, Scripture, to you as you're reading it. I began to learn and develop this, and no one told me or taught me how I should be doing this or what I should be doing. It just began to happen organically, and this has become a life message for me. And this is what I want to encourage you with today, is developing a personal relationship with Jesus where you are placing Him first. You are spending time with Him, if not daily, certainly at some point in your week, spending time with Him, quality time where you can fellowship with Him, you can share your heart, you can read His Word, you can worship Him, and you can allow Him to communicate with you. As I studied and grew and matured in my faith, I learned this, that all throughout Scripture, you see men and women who have developed a relationship with God or with through Jesus, and they have learned to hear God's voice. They have been instructed, they have been given directions, and they have obeyed and carried those out. And of course, the Bible details that there are men and women that did not obey. And the reality of that, no one is perfect, and we all go through challenges. And so it details all of that. But the thread that is powerful and transforming, that has just captured my heart, is you see men and women pursuing God and pursuing a relationship with Him. And in that relationship, they receive revelation, they receive communication. God speaks to them and directs their lives. And then when they act on that instruction, when they act on that direction, there are supernatural things that happen, and God is glorified. And that is the relationship He's called us to as believers, and specifically as men. God has called us to hear His voice, to hear His promptings, to submit to them, to obey. And doing that, Jesus' life is lived through us. So practically, I want to encourage you, how do you do that? The first thing you do is you set an appointment with God. Just like God had an appointment with Adam and Eve in the garden, you set an appointment. You know, we set appointments for everything in our lives, from going to see the doctor and the dentist, whatever it is, we set appointments normally. Set an appointment with God. And I would encourage you to set an appointment where you are at your best of the day, where you are awake and aware and can listen and focus. Set an appointment with God and then spend time worshiping Him. And let it be natural for you, whether it's you listen to a song on a podcast or whether you listen to something off of YouTube, but take time to involve worship and then read and pray. Read God's Word every day. Let there be something from God's Word, whether it's just even a word or a phrase or a sentence. It's the quality, not the quantity. Something from God's Word. Let it strike you. Let it minister to you. And then pray. Pray whatever is on your heart or on your mind. Sometimes we need to pray to clear our mind because there's things that are burdening our mind that are not allowing us to hear what God is speaking to us. So unburden your mind by praying. And then the beautiful part, all of it's beautiful, but sometimes the super exciting and beautiful part is listen and write. And you might say to me, well, I've never done that, or I don't know how to do this. The simple, beautiful part of this is if you take a notebook or a piece of paper and you just take a pen and you sit down and you listen and write, you can write everything that comes to your mind in those moments. And many of those things may not have anything to do with, you know, hearing from the Lord. They might be, you know, I need to go change the oil in the car, or I need to go take out the garbage, or I need to go pay this bill. It might be something like that. But then you may have something in there that you write down that God was whispering to your heart or God was nudging you. By listening and writing, you are giving yourself an opportunity to learn how to hear God speak to you. It will change your life as you do that, and it will empower you to be the man of God that God has called you to be. So, friends, I just want to encourage you with that. If you've never done that in your life, take a moment to do that. Would you allow me to pray for you? Heavenly Father, I pray today that you would reveal yourself to each person that's listening to me in a deeper way, that you would let them know, just like you pursued me for personal relationship, you are pursuing them for deeper relationship. You are pursuing them for appointments that they can set with you where you can minister to them. Father, I pray that you would help each and every one listening to my voice be able to set time aside where you can minister, where they can minister to you and you can speak to them. Help them develop that beautiful, intimate relationship with you. Father, I pray your blessing over each listening. I thank you for who you are, Jesus. Be real to each one listening, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to rate it and subscribe to stay up to date with the new episodes. And if you want to stay connected with everything we're doing as a ministry, you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or visit menssummit.com. Until next time, have a blessed day.